This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
On a Monday.
Happy Monday, guys.
It's not even a Thursday. Friday's a long way away.
I heard I triggered the you people.
Uh-oh. They'll be all right.
Can I just say this?
A little wild in there.
Can I just say this? Hi. My name is Hugh. I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry I hurt your feelings.
Everyone will be all right.
I'm sorry I hurt your feelings.
And by the way, all the people were like, Kyle, say this. Kyle, say that. No!
I'm sorry.
Everyone's going to have their own thoughts.
Leave me the hell alone.
Hey, listen, I am the drunk. I'm looking at right at the camera. Look, I'm the drunk uncle at the barbecue. Sometimes we got to have these uncomfortable conversations. Mm-hmm. Y'all need to get out y'all feelings, man, because, I mean, this ain't Major League Buddies. Let's just say, this ain't Major League Buddies.
Finally you say it. Yep. After all these years buddies. Of us telling you y'all, this is y'all not
Major
League right. Buddies.
Y'all will be, you're a little butthurt right now. You'll be all right. It's only Monday. We got a whole week. Just buckle up.
Yeah, well, there's a lot going on, that's for sure. 215-592-9494. Buckle up for a week. And I
tried to tell you when we came in this morning. I asked you.
If you thought it was going to be a calm week around here, you thought
wrong.
I said,
do y'all really want to go here? I said, hey, yeah. I'm cool with it.
Well, you know me. Do I really want to go to this topic? Yes, it's a good one. Yeah, we're going to talk about it. And I wasn't for drafting Shadur. I didn't think the Eagles should do it. I thought they were going to. Where do you come down? 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all the Shadur stuff. And did you think the Eagles should have taken him? I think the Browns jumped the Eagles because they knew the Eagles were going to take him. But Hugh, as we went through the draft here, right, so... And we'll react more as the show goes on to some of the guys they did actually take. We know they didn't actually take Shadur Sanders. But you look at the Eagles draft, right? You see a linebacker, Jihad Campbell. You see safety, Andrew Mukuba. Defensive tackle, Ty Robinson. The corner, Mack McWilliams. He was the one taken right after Shadur. The Mondon Jr., the linebacker, Drew Kendall. McCord, the quarterback. Hinton, the offensive tackle. Williams, the offensive tackle. And Edge, Powell Ryland. You notice I didn't say a certain position? You notice there was no tight end?
Tight ends.
None.
They're just trying to figure out what they're going to do with Dallas.
Well, yeah, he's still here.
Sorry, by the way.
Yeah.
Right, what happened?
Oh, with the Mason Taylor thing.
No, I'm all right, man. Listen. No, I am, because I thought about it this weekend.
Because you're going up to Jets camp for a practice. Don't lie to
everybody. He's about to return to his roots.
I know.
I mean, that might happen.
He's going to get a free sweatshirt, see his old friend Aaron Glenn, and say, hey, Mason, how's your aunt?
I'm not going to do that. It doesn't, you know. I thought about it long and hard this weekend, man.
Yeah, you'll be there.
Long and hard, yep.
When I said it, I was like, damn, I can't believe I said
that.
Could
you imagine how Mason Taylor would feel if, like, Hugh Douglas is up there, like, trying to start a conversation with him? He's like, what are you talking to me for?
I'm not going to do that. I was going to go regardless. I'm going up there because, you know. I'm trying to get back. You know, I mean, you can't forget where you came.
You're trying to get a free hoodie. I mean, come on.
He said I wasn't. No matter, everything you're talking about, I never denied.
Yeah, you didn't.
But as far as the auntie is concerned, no, I don't think that ship is sailed.
Okay, well,
she's out of my league, man. I thought I'd never say that, but she, you know,
really?
Did you see her podcast? What are you talking about?
Well, I didn't listen, but I saw a headline. Yeah, that's a
every
lot.
Day, every day, Joe. Hey, I'm too old for that now.
Okay,
hey, listen.
Are you?
Hey, listen. I give it the old college try, but let's be realistic.
At least you're being honest about yourself.
Listen, I like my naps. I like to take naps. She's Energizer Bunny.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah, and as we found out on a Friday, back to back at this age is as easy
back
as
to back, ain't that?
It's not what it used to be.
Back to back.
All right. So we know also with all this, Mason Taylor goes to the Jets. Fannin Jr., that was the kid from Bowling Green.
If yes, people liked, entire,
he,
yeah.
he went to the Browns, which actually is where Shadur is. Bring it all together. And then in the first round, Loveland went to the Bears and Warren went to the Colts. So, Hugh, a lot of the tight ends started flying off the board around the second round. The Rams got one. And then by the time the Eagles got on the board again, they didn't take one. And they didn't take one the whole draft. Let's hear Howie Roseman on not addressing the tight end position this weekend.
Why did you end up with a tight end? And you know, what kind of factored into how that laid out?
Yeah, again, just trying to be as true as we could to the board. You know, every time that we had the opportunity to pick, we were looking at the board and really trying to reflect what that work to put those grades in really should be reflected in the outcome. So we didn't want to kind of drop down at some points. There were some points where it was, you know, close, but it was never at the time we were selecting the best player.
All right, so Howie gives you the GM speak, the best player, board, all that kind of stuff. But here's the issue. If they're not going to keep Goddard, and it doesn't seem like they're going to, although he's still here, well, they didn't get a tight end, right? All we have is Calcaterra. So let's hear Howie on the Goddard situation. Because they didn't draft one, could Goddard come back? Here's Howie and the way he spoke about Goddard the other day.
You know, Dallas is part of the team, you know, as we speak. Obviously, as we go forward, we're going to continue to address things on this team, and right now, nothing further. Dallas is a heck of a player, heck of a person. You know, certainly don't want to do anything publicly where we're discussing anyone's business, but have so much respect for him. You know, been to two Super Bowls together, and you know, obviously would love him on this team. You know, you always love having Dallas on this team, but we're not there right now on any of that. But
Hugh, trying to get that money right, trying to figure it out.
What's so fascinating about the way he speaks about him is as if he's not under contract. He's on the team. Like, he talks about him like they hope to figure this out. He's on the football team right now.
Well, he's being as transparent as you can. There's a money issue.
Totally.
That they would like to resolve. I think I'm not a capologist, but you could extend him and bring his cap number down.
You could, yep.
But I don't think they want to do that. I think that
they want to take a pay cut.
Yeah, and I don't think Dallas wants to take a pay cut. And they want him to be here. Right now, I feel like Dallas has all the power. Like, they obviously don't want to give him extended years, but they don't want to cut him either.
So I actually see a little different. I think they're doing him dirty. The longer they hold on to him, like, so they just went through free agency where they didn't let him into free agency, right? Mm-hmm. So teams used their money. Mm-hmm. Now the whole draft went by. The Browns drafted a tight end. The Colts drafted a tight end. The Bears drafted a tight end. So all those spots are gone now, right?
Yeah, you're looking at it from if they cut him.
They're squeezing him. So if they just hold him, right, and we get to June, how many teams are desperate for a tight end in June that will pay him more than them? So my view is they're squeezing him until he just says, all right, I got no other options. No team will pay me more. I'll just take your pay cut. I think they're squeezing this guy.
Yeah, but if he stands on business, it still puts the Eagles in a bad spot, because if they cut him,
then they don't have a tight end.
They don't have a tight end, and he could go. Somebody will probably sign him.
But for more than he'll get here?
Well, now it's the principality situation. It's the principality, Smokey. It's more like, do I go back to the Eagles after knowing what they just did to me, or do I just go somewhere else?
Right.
You might not get the money that you want, but it might be just on principle.
It reminds me a lot of what they did this to Ertz at the end, and then they brought him into the next season. I think he came into training camp with bleach blonde hair. It was a really odd thing.
Yeah,
last Ertz year here was weird.
Raging against the machine.
Yeah, and then he didn't seem happy, and then they traded him at the deadline that year after a Thursday night game to the Arizona Cardinals. And, you know, he's played four or five more years and is still a good player. But I just feel like without a tight end in the draft, it's harder on Howie to just cut him.
I mean, it is
harder.
But hopefully, I don't know. I would think that they would at least be having some type of conversation with him to let him know what they're thinking. And you don't say nothing about a guy like that. You don't give him a glowing endorsement and then, you know, do him dirty on the back end. I don't see that.
I still want him here. I haven't changed my mind the whole time. And Hugh, if they had drafted the Fannin kid or Mason Taylor.
It makes more sense.
Yeah, of course. Then you're like, okay, you got the next guy. You can move on. I don't view Calcaterra that way. 215-592-9494 for your thought on the Goddard situation. Eagles don't draft a tight end. For all the good things they did in this draft, and we'll talk more about the class coming up, Hugh, they didn't get a tight end. And they didn't get any sort of interior offensive lineman. Now, maybe one of these tackles can play inside, but mm-hmm. That guard position, you know, they lost Becton, and now what do we have? Steen and the Kenyon Green
kid? And there's
kid?
Still some moves that can be made. Yeah. You're going to probably bring some young cats in that didn't get drafted.
Undrafted,
you know,
guys.
Undrafted guys. So there's still some moves to be made. And then, as you know, when training camp comes around or we go through this process, guys will be cut, and they'll probably pick somebody up. So they're just waiting to see.
Those are the two spots, though, that I expected them to draft something, guard and tight end, and they didn't do either. Bruce is in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
Kyle, Joe, Hugh, and the crew.
What's going on,
Bruce?
Man?
Bruce!
All right. What's going on? Hugh, look, you know what? I got to thank you for some clarity on this whole thing with Sanders, because you said some things about Johnny Manziel and other quarterbacks that I did not think about, because my first take was initially that it was all a buffoonery between him and his dad that cost him. Now that is definitely true, but then there's the racial component. I think that some of that is in place. That, no, we're gonna put you in your place, and we're gonna show you, because this was epidemic, as this has never happened before, and it was a power move. And I think that there is some of that. That same standard was not applied to him. Anytime you had somebody running from the cops, but he still got drafted, you know, there's something wrong with that. So, but with that said, I think the big lesson with the whole Sanders thing is that, number one, they made mistakes on projecting his confidence, and they made mistakes on it made it look like they were shunning the process. You didn't play any games,
right?
In these
all of that, yeah. All of that. So, all of that, Bruce.
So there was a number of that, but let's not forget the racial piece. There's a tinge to that when you do that comparison and contrast. So I just wanted to say thank you.
Well, you know,
for
I
that
think we you know, I think we found out, Bruce, and this we kind of knew this anyway, but it became more clear. The NFL
Correct.
Would much rather a player have made a mistake off the field, like, I mean,
right.
potentially criminal, or just, you know, had a bad moment or two, or whatever, than they would arrogance or personality issues.
Yeah, because it's like you're bigger than the game.
Right.
It's a little bit of that.
Let's not forget the irony of this. The Eagles drafted Jalen Carter. I'm not saying Jalen Carter's a bad kid, but he had an off the field. There was a moment that was obviously concerning, right? Like what he was part of.
And
was,
he still got drafted.
And he's, because two things. One, he's a great talent, and Shadur is not. And the other part is
right. That
doesn't bother teams as much, because they figure, okay, mistake can be doesn't have to mean that's who you are. But I think the personality thing, people think that's who you are. The NFL, the personality, that rubs people the wrong way more than getting in trouble.
Yeah,
it does.
Oh no, it definitely does. And I think, you know, but here's the crazy part about it, right? At first, I was like, not no, but hell no. But you know what? The thought entered my mind yesterday that the Eagles could take him.
Yep.
And I would have been probably unhappy about it, but I would have sat back and read the tea leaves. I said, you know what? He probably would have been a good fit here, because number one, we're a championship caliber team. They wouldn't have put up with his daddy's foolishness. And look, you're gonna sit down over here in the corner and shut up, or otherwise, or we'll treat you like Purdy and get some value out of it. Maybe if you did get some play time, and they ship you off for a draft pick. But I think what would have happened, right, if he did wind up on the team, is that he would have latched on to Jalen. And Jalen would have pulled him over to the side and did some mentoring. And it could have probably turned out to be a beautiful thing. And Deion would have been the biggest sounding board for the championship Eagles when we win that next Super Bowl. It could have turned out to be, you know, something amazing. I mean, when you really think about it. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But I wanted to get in a quick Philly point,
mm-hmm,
too.
Mm-hmm.
And this was about Turner over the weekend. You know, when he missed that ball and cost that that pitcher, 19 extra pitches,
yep.
You know, this is something that we need to look out going forward. I'm trying to be optimistic about the team improving, but I'm telling you, Turner's play, they're going to have to do something about that, because the way they you know, allow those players to have their way when their skills are going down and they're not making any critical calls. I don't want to see too many more errors like that from Turner.
I agree.
Because it's going to eventually cost us Either getting into the playoffs or championship.
Totally. Bruce, I thought, and Bruce, good call. We always appreciate it. I thought the first couple weeks of the season, Hugh Turner had been better at shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
He's regressed here the last week or two. He had the play on, was it Friday, where he didn't get the tag down? I mean, the ball is right there. I don't know how he doesn't tag the guy. Then Saturday, he was a disaster in the field. He is not a very good defensive shortstop. We've known that since the day he got here. He's got to hit a lot. If he hits a lot, we'll deal with it. But they're lucky his defense didn't cost them more this weekend. He stunk out there this weekend,
yeah,
defensively.
But when you look at the weekend as a whole, though, I mean, I think it was mostly about the pitching that we had this weekend.
Yeah, well, Nola and Luzardo were really good. Yeah, I mean, Trey's defense did not cost them the series. It just wasn't good, though.
It's still
though.
Concerning.
Yeah, I mean, for that tag on Friday, I don't know how he doesn't get that tagged. And the ball beat the runner by 3 feet, and somehow he tags the air. Zoe in Bluebell's up. What's up, Zoe?
Yeah, good afternoon. I am I'm pulling my hair out over here because I'm a little bit crazy about everything.
Okay.
The Phillies are pretty much got me on edge every game I watch, and that's I feel like we're spending so much money on Trey, we're spending so much money on Bohm. We're at a point where it's I almost feel like we got to blow it up. We got contracts we can't move. We're in a position where, like, if we just skate along and keep doing this 500 thing, we're just going to get bounced in the first round of playoffs again. So something's got to give. Hopefully they get hot. You know, you get a little bit, feel a little bit good about the pitching last night, and hopefully they'll get hot and somehow, some way, we start pulling through the increased value of these players and then maybe be able to move them. But I don't know. But that's not the main reason why I call. I want to talk about Sanders. I truly, truly believe we should have taken him. And the main reason why is risk versus reward. It's like if you can grab him in the fourth or, early fifth round, it's like, what are we really losing? You know, it's like a gamble. It's like hitting on a five-pick parlay. It's, okay, if he doesn't work out, then we ship him off. Or if there's conflict, it seems like everybody's more concerned about conflict that he may have with Jalen being there or media circuits and everything else coming in. I don't feel like that would be a problem for the Eagles. I mean, we did well with Michael Vick, and I'm sure 85% of the people didn't want us to have him.
At least, if not more.
It was very, very polarizing.
Oh, my goodness gracious, yeah.
So we can obviously handle it from that perspective, from that point of view. But I think the main reason, and I don't even know if it's a black ball, collusion, or whatever it is, but it's almost like everybody's talking through all 32 teams, and everybody kind of knew they weren't going to take him. For whatever reason, I don't know. It could go back to the Colorado. People say, oh, he's too boisterous. He's too cocky. He's too this and too that. But still a good kid. Still stayed out of trouble. Still kept good grades. No real reason why you would not want to have him on your team, especially in third, fourth, early fifth round. I think if we would have picked him up, Jalen could have been a good mentor. And if you think about it, last season, everybody was hammering Jalen the first several games mm-hmm. of the season, maybe the first five, six games of the season. And even if it wasn't for Saquon and us running the ball, we might have hammered him the whole way through the season. So is it really that bad of a thing to have somebody who could be a capable backup there just in case?
It's not. No, theoretically, Zoe, it's not.
And that's the thing.
I wanted, for the same reasons you're saying, Zoe, I wanted Milroe. Like, he was the guy I pegged mm-hmm. as maybe that guy. And obviously the Seahawks took him in the third round. But your theory or your idea that if he could become a good player, it's a value pick. I agree with your like that thought process, and that's why I thought the Eagles were going to take him, Hugh. Like, when we got to Saturday morning, I was like, they're going to take him.
Yeah, and it all looked that way, and it's so. And you're thinking about it in the right way, because I think because of the climate that we're in, people always want to pick one or two things and say it's that. But the bottom mm-hmm. line is this: the guy could play. Whether you agree with the stats or his dad was padding the stats or whatever, good kid, should have been taken on at least the second day, at least the third round. And that's the thing, that when people look at that, they want to point out the fact that he was arrogant or whatever. If that's the worst thing that he's done in college, it was be a little cocky, when you have guys that have done other stuff that is way worse,
uh-huh.
that's not a bad trait to have. You can tone that. You can say, hey, young buck, you need to probably tone that down just a little bit. Because uh-huh. you're coming into the NFL, you need to tone that down. But to sit there and say he didn't get drafted because he was cocky and arrogant, that's crazy.
Yeah,
that's crazy to me.
It doesn't make any sense. But you know what? Thinking about the college time that he had there, if you think about everybody who watched it, because obviously Colorado just blew up after
his dad got there.
Sure.
And you think about it, everybody at that point either loved them or they hated
them. Yeah, well, very strong opinions on the player. And that's why this became the biggest story. And Zoe, we appreciate the call. I think Zoe said something there, Hugh, that really there's a lot of different things going on here with this player and this situation, and it is one of the more dramatic draft falls in the history of the NFL.
Only time it's ever happened, Joe.
But here's where I think is what the most interesting part is: the split on what kind of player he is, because we've seen it. You said a million times: if a player is projected like with great talent, they get like he brought up Vic. Why did the Eagles take the chance on Vic? Because Michael Vick
because he could play
special talent, right? And obviously his career went off the rails, and he went to prison, and all that stuff that we know. But he still had special talent in his body. But the point he made is a good one. If you think he had that talent, then you should just take him because it's a value pick. But half the teams, I bet, just from what I have gleaned, half the teams didn't think he was that good. So I can understand if you don't think he's that good. And there's all the 10 things, other things we mentioned. I could see why a team is like, I'm not doing
man,
this.
Man, and that's where I try to tell everybody. It is not just one thing. It was a bunch of different things. Now, some people want to push one narrative or another. They want to push that more. But I sat back before all of this happened. And like I said, I asked people, okay, what do you think it is? And everything that I brought up in the conversation, do you think it got anything to do with his dad?
Yep.
Said yes. Do you think it has to do with his play? Some of that, yes. What about his testing? He wasn't prepared. All of that played into it. So to sit here and say that a person is wrong for thinking this way or that way, that's not right. Because everything that you can say about this kid has played a factor in this happening.
Well, and then the other thing, to go back to, you mentioned one of the things is his play. Some people could point out his numbers. He put up good numbers.
Yes,
like
he
produced.
And he completed the football. Yeah. You could go back and go through any draft, and you can find somebody that played that position that probably didn't have a great completion rate, but they still drafted him because, again,
physical skills.
That's the one position that you're always looking for. Like somebody talked about Russell Wilson was a late-round draft pick. Russell Wilson – wasn't projected to be a first-round draft pick.
No.
Somebody said, well, Tom Brady should be mad about the way he was picked. Tom Brady wasn't projected to be a number one draft pick.
His name wasn't mentioned on the broadcast until he was drafted.
Aaron Rodgers was upset because he failed in the draft, but he still went number one. Like people, don't get mad because you can't see what we're seeing. I got drafted. I know how the process works. I know for a fact that when I was going through my draft process, guys, we'll be walking down the hall and somebody say, going to the scout, say, hey, I'm from so-and-so team. We want to talk to you. And they'd be like, when are you drafting? Oh, I don't need to talk to you. You're not going to be there when I get picked.
Not you didn't
no,
say
no,
that.
No, I didn't say that. I talked to everybody named Mama.
I know, because you
came from a small school.
Right, right.
But those cats from them bigger schools, they was like, dude, you drafting 12. I'm not going to be there at 12. I ain't got to talk to you. And they would do that.
Yeah.
So
that's
to
not
sit
new.
There and say that he's being arrogant, man – everybody has done that, especially if you know you're going to be a high draft pick. That's a part of the game.
For sure. This hour on 94 WIP, fueled by Sunoco 94 Octane. If you demand peak performance for your vehicle, then nothing less than Sunoco 94 Octane will do. Treat your car 94 only at Sunoco. Our Twitter question, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. As he fell, did you want the Eagles to draft Shedeur Sanders? We are sitting at 86% no, 14% yes. All right, we'll let you hear what Howie said about all the defensive players they took. And Hugh Kapadia this morning on one of the more interesting players Eagles took over the weekend. I like this kid. I think he's going to be a good replacement for someone we lost. 215-592-9494. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Spent a lot of time on a player the Eagles did not pick in the NFL draft, but they almost did.
Crazy.
They almost did. I think the Browns thought they were going to take Shedeur Sanders. We need to come down on that, but let's talk about what they did do, which is a whole lot of defense. Howie Roseman on all those defensive players taken early this year and in the last few drafts.
Over the last 4 years, 10 of your 13 picks in the first three rounds have been defense. turned the whole defense over since 22. Why that kind of emphasis on it, and how do you like where you are defensively now?
Well, offensively, we have a bunch of starters under long-term contracts, starters who are in the prime of their career, so it allows you to really on the fly get young on that side of the ball, and we needed it a couple years ago, and I'd say this year's draft, we were open to whatever the board told us.
All right, go ahead.
Go ahead. I don't have to because
go ahead.
I don't have to.
Yes, you do. Offense,
y'all see
defense,
it.
Luxury,
y'all see
necessity,
it.
Crap.
Y'all see it. I just be sitting on here dropping dimes, man. I be dropping gems like I'm a point guard.
This is a joke, quite frankly.
I tried to tell y'all, and he said it. He basically said what I've been screaming the whole time, but he said it in such a nice way, y'all. You know, he made it more palatable for the people.
So this is spin. Is this just spin stuff?
It's not a spin.
Well, I could spin it the other way, saying that they've used 10 of the last 13 high picks on defense because that matters.
Well, it matters because it helps with the narrative. They're cheaper.
Well, they are.
They're
cheaper now.
That's a
for until
now.
They have to pay them.
And then when they have to pay them,
they're going
to
let them go because it's a luxury.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, Jalen Carter,
well,
Quinion, Cooper.
This thing could flip in 3 years.
I feel the pushback.
Very fast.
There's only one guy that you identify on this team. Now, they have some good players. I'm not taking away anything from Quinion or Cooper DeJean. But when you look at this defense and you say the guy that you got to have on that defense, it's only one that you have to have.
Huh?
All the rest of them are interchangeable.
No.
Jalen Carter.
Quinion is interchangeable?
First of all, let me tell you the numbers. Mm-hmm. Why? Mm-hmm. Let me tell you why the numbers.
Bond? After they just paid him
this
whole season?
Let me tell you why the numbers bear out me saying that. His snap count alone, and he's the most out of all the positions that you, when you start building a team, you want to start from the trenches.
So you're right on the snap counts, but Quinion and Cooper play a lot of snaps.
Oh, no, they play a lot of snaps.
And
they play a lot
I wouldn't
of snaps.
Say they're interchangeable.
They play a lot of snaps, but like I said, if I'm starting my team, the only cat that I'm taking is Jalen Carter, because off of Jalen Carter,
obviously,
but what I'm saying is off of Jalen Carter, I can put a bunch of different cast members around him.
Sorry, so you're the way this is played out.
Defense isn't going to be as good.
I would say this right now. Your theory from years ago is working for you right now, right? But
did that hurt you to say?
No, it didn't. But a day, I've been sitting on this for weeks. A day is coming in the next few years where the rubber is going to meet the road.
The rubber is going to meet the
road. And they're going to have to decide, do we keep Quinion, Cooper, Nolan, you know, maybe the Jahad Campbell if he's the real deal?
It's going
to
flip.
They're going to have to get rid of some of the older, at that point, they'll be older, right? AJ, obviously the linemen are all young. But like they're going to have to make decisions, and someone, one or two or three, or the offensive guys, won't be here anymore.
Here's the thing, though. If you win, you go to a couple more Super Bowls, win a few more, does it matter? Like, say if we go back this year and the year after, does it matter?
So are you saying if this flips and defense is not a luxury, does it matter?
Well, no, I'm saying
it matters
if it flips,
for this.
If it flips, that just means that my take stood the test of time.
No, it didn't.
What? I mean, it did. Because this is how
it just means you had a conveniently time.
No.
Yes.
I have vision.
Stood the test of time.
No,
oh,
I have
goodness.
Vision. You and are. It also, but see, here's the thing, and it's the reality of it, that you just can't wrap your mind around.
We don't have the bandwidth.
you catch it on. The NFL is cyclical. It changes every 10 years. So if it goes back to the defense, then you guys would be right. But right now, it's my room.
Okay, it's interesting.
At least acknowledge it.
Well, so then,
that's the NFL in a nutshell.
When it comes time to have to pay Quinion, Cooper, et cetera, guys not named Jalen Carter on the defense, you're saying don't do it?
They probably – it all depends on what their numbers look like during that time.
And it depends on how good they are.
Yes, because right now we know for a fact Jalen Carter has to be paid. Like, that's a fact. The other guys, they had a good rookie campaign. We'll see what happens this year. Now, if they come back and they duplicate that, then that's a different conversation. But as of right now, only cat that's getting paid on the defense is Jalen.
Zach.
And yeah, Bond. You know there is a way for both everyone to be right. You know what this is, right?
What's that?
So, like, what have we had this discussion today about getting a young quarterback, right? 3 years from now, there is a way they could keep most of the offensive guys and most of the defensive
guys. Get a new quarterback.
If they had a
then quarterback is a luxury.
Well, hold on. But like,
it's hard to find a quarterback.
They're not paying him.
The Niners have such a good roster 2 years ago?
Because they didn't have to pay the quarterback.
Right. Like, I'm not saying they should do this.
A luxury.
They can do this, but I'm just saying, like, we both could be right if they drafted a young quarterback.
See, let me tell you what the 49ers...
That's the way to make the money work.
Let me tell you what the 49ers are dealing with right now. Brock Purdy having the success that he's had.
Well, now he wants money.
And he...
he wants money.
He about to get paid.
Well, it's a fleeting thing. You get a few years.
He about to get paid, sure. Bro.
Well, that's why they got rid of Debo, and they moved on.
Because they got to pay.
Yep.
Yep.
And they won't be good.
My Purdy take's just marinating a little bit.
We all have these takes.
We all have agendas.
Just marinating.
We
just stirring the pot of our own takes until it's time to serve that meal. All right, one more thing from this weekend. We didn't spend much time on it today. Obviously, on Friday, we were excited about Jahad Campbell. And we know today we've been debating what they didn't do. But their highest pick since we last spoke was the safety out of Texas. Shiel Kapadia was on this morning with the morning show. Listen to what he said about Makuba, the safety out of Texas.
Most interesting thing to me with Makuba is that he's only 186 pounds, but he plays like he doesn't care that he's only 186 pounds. I mean, he throws his body around. Now, really, that is a concern a little bit in the NFL, where you say, hey, if you want to say this isn't going to work out, if you look into your crystal ball and say, hey, it might not work out. I do have some concerns about 186 pounds with his style of play. But, man, he survived it in college at a big-time program. And so he's a really fun player in that respect. The versatility is interesting. You know, I've heard people make the comp to Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, and I do think play style, that's a good one. There are some mixed reviews about him when he's asked to cover slot receivers. You know, is he shifty enough? Is he athletic enough to do that? He didn't do a ton of that last year at Texas. Like I said, he did it previously. Is he going to be able to bring that versatility to the NFL? I think that's another thing that he has to prove.
I think he's a free safety. When I've watched the highlights, Shiel was talking about the nickel type of stuff in the slot. I think he's a center field free safety, goes and gets the ball with interceptions. What do you make of what Shiel said? So he plays like he's bigger, but he's only 186 pounds. So he kind of was hinting at the idea of, can he hold up physically?
Bruh.
He hits.
Bruh. I'm watching as we're talking about him. He just came up and he hit a tight end. Looked like, who was it, quarterback or the tight end with a decleater.
I'm a fan.
No, he can hit. Like, he can hit. He reminds me a little bit with his size of Timmy Houck. Remember Timmy Houck played here? Not Minnesota. Wyoming? One of those small. Like, he played, I think it was a Cowboy or something. Wyoming, I think it was a Cowboy. But Wyoming Cowboy, I think. But, yeah, he comes up and he lays the wood now from that safety position. It just all depends. Like Shiel said, you kind of worry about him and his size. But I tell you who else was considered a smaller safety that when he got in the room, when he got in the weight room and it started lifting, he was a big dude. Brian Dawkins was not that big of a safety. But boy, he'll lay that thigh out on you. Not saying that he's Brian Dawkins, people. Mm-hmm. Not saying that. I'm just saying Brian put that thigh out on you for a little dude, though.
He had 5 picks last year, which, I mean, that's one of the things when they traded away Chauncey for no reason that I was annoyed about. Like, that's a playmaker they lost. This kid looks like a playmaker. 5 interceptions last year. Let's hope he holds up physically, and maybe he'll get bigger, like you said. Hugh, the one thing that I think now I'm most looking forward to at camp, like with battles, is him against Sidney Brown to see who's going to play safety. Because I didn't feel...
Yeah, Sidney's a hitter, too.
He is. But I didn't feel comfortable with Sidney.
He gets injured.
And he gets lost sometimes in coverage. You in on this kid?
No, I am. I'm looking at the hitter you've had on the quarterback.
That's what I'm saying. Sounds like you're in. I'm a Kuba. I'm in on Makuba. I like that pick. All right, 215-592-9494. For your phone calls on all this, the draft, what they did, what they didn't do. I am surprised they didn't get a tight end. Goddard's future's all up in the air. And, of course, Shedeur Sanders. Did you want the Eagles to take him as he fell down the draft board? Audrey in South Philly. Hey, Audrey.
Hey, guys. Hey, no, I didn't want Shedeur Sanders. I think they did the right thing. I think that was media-driven, that the Eagles were even in with that. As soon as I put on the fourth round, they were saying it could be the Eagles that might want him. So that was more of media. The Eagles' pick was in as soon as Shedeur Sanders was picked. The Eagles' pick was in right after that. So if the Eagles had any inkling in trying to get Shedeur Sanders, they would have been scrambling around. He still would have been on the clock. So that was media driven.
Oh, so you don't think they're not? You don't think they had interest in him?
They didn't want. They had no inklings in wanting him.
Why do you think the Browns jumped them?
We are the world champion. We don't need that. We don't need the headache. We don't need the circus. We don't need that stuff here. I think he dropped because he deserved to drop. When you come in there, these companies are billion-dollar companies that you're going to interview them for. This ain't no jalopy job that you're going to interview them for. You're going in front of people that are worth billions of dollars. That you need them more than they need you. And he went that out there. It's not the Giants' fault that he interviewed bad. I think Gable did the right thing and let teams know exactly how he was. So teams knew.
I disagree there. So, like,
with a guy?
Well, they don't have to. But I disagree with you on that, Audrey. If someone goes in, you know what? Never mind. you go.
Yeah, you're good.
I'm done. Audrey, if someone goes in for an interview and doesn't do a good job, obviously they shouldn't get the job. I mean, anyone that he gave a bad interview with or meeting with, I'm not surprised they didn't take him. That's fine. But to go and tell the world about it feels a little immature to me from the coach.
He's good enough, like Manziel and
Manziel wasn't anything good.
Manziel stunk.
Everybody else did. Everybody would have overlooked. If he was that good, his daddy was that good. He's not. He's not his daddy.
Well, he's not. I mean, his dad was one of the best players of all time.
Oh, I know he was.
Yeah.
But it's Sonny Boy isn't.
All right, Audrey. We preached the call. There's a lot going on that phone call.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just a lot.
I mean, it was.
You know what we're going to grab here? Let's get Kevin says giving us an agent's perspective. Kevin is up on WIP. What's up, Kevin?
How you guys today? Can you guys hear me okay?
Kevin. What's up?
So I wanted to speak from an agent perspective. I've been listening to a lot of calls. I've listened to you guys for a long period of time, and I just kind of wanted to explain how a lot of these things work behind the scenes, if you guys give me a few.
Sure.
I've represented NBA basketball players for years. There's probably people that know my name. So the first thing is mock drafts. I just wanted to explain how mock drafts work. They are people's opinions. In 2025, there's a lot of clickbait. These things are driven by individuals. There's no agents drive mock drafts. There's been instances where a small-time agent can pay a mock draft X amount of dollars to put a guy onto a mock draft. Mock drafts are exactly what they are. They are people's opinions. They are not, they're designed for entertainment purposes. NFL teams are not spreading information to these mock drafts. So when you see a player fall in a mock draft, it's because it's exactly what it is. It's a mock draft. The second thing I wanted to share was how this whole interview process works. And Hugh might be able to relate. As an agent, we would prepare our players prior to meetings. We would hire former GMs who would do all the background research, and we would prep them. We would prepare them on how to answer certain questions. So case in point, let's just say the Giants who drafted number 24, whatever the number was, a lot of times a team will say, hey, if we were to draft you at this number, how would you feel coming into our organization knowing you were going to be a backup? We would tell the player to say, hey, while I am a competitor, I know that it's going to take me time to learn how to play, and I'm not ready now. So if my best way to help a team is to be the quarterback of the scout team and help this defense be the best that it can and win a championship, even though I feel like I'm ready, that's what I am willing to do. It doesn't take away from his confidence, but it's the answer that they want to hear. So conversely, if another quarterback says, well, I feel like I'm a starter and I don't want to be a backup, that team might take them off their draft board simply because he does not fit into their plans. Do I think Shador is better than Kenny Pickett? Absolutely, I do. But Kenny Pickett went to a team where he may have walked in saying, I understand I am going to be a backup for a year to 2 years. Jackson Dart may have said, I am willing to be a backup for Russell Wilson and for Jameis Winston for 1 or 2 years. That's sometimes why teams, why players drop in the draft. It's not always simply because of certain situations. This was a very unique year. We had five quarterbacks drafted in the first round last year.
Right.
Not every team needed a quarterback. So there were instances where he was going to drop for different reasons. And remember, and Hugh can probably attest to this, he didn't have an agent. He was not prepped and prepared the same way, despite who his father was, on how to answer certain questions. We would always prepare our clients on exactly how to answer questions, and we could also manipulate the draft process. I've had instances where I've literally told a team, do not draft my player. I would rather him go undrafted, and we can pick the team that he wants to go to undrafted, than be a 42nd pick in the second round, where there's partially guaranteed contracts, where there's G League contracts. There are so many things that happen behind the scenes as to why players fall. It's not always as clear cut because there are a lot of things that a lot of moving parts. Hugh, do you agree with what I'm saying?
There are a lot of moving parts. But as far as being humble in a meeting, I don't think that's enough to say you're willing to be a backup. I don't think that's enough for you to drop to the fifth round, though. I don't think that's a red flag.
Well, no, it's not. And that's why I didn't use humbling. There's a way that you can say I am a competitor, but if me being a I've had first round NBA draft picks who were in the green room, and the question that was asked is, if we draft you in the first round and we have to send you to the G League, and they would say, listen, I'm a competitor, but if I have to go to we knew what to tell them what to say. It doesn't take away from their confidence or anything, but it does impact the team's. Think Michael Penix went number 8 knowing he was going to be a backup. Does Michael Penix go number 8 if when he answers the question, he tells them, I only want to go to a team where I can start? That may alter that team's whole draft process and how they do it. Do I ultimately think that Shador sliding past a certain round had a lot to do with the team saying, do we want the headache of drafting a third round guy who everybody's going to think is a starter and wants to have him start, and now we have to look over this in the case of a new coach in New Orleans? I just think there were so many things at play. And lastly, before I hang up, I do sometimes think that race comes into play. And I think the better example was Lamar Jackson dropping to the end of the first round and people asking him to play wide receiver. I think that was a very, very accurate depiction of how race plays into the NFL. I just thought here, while it absolutely may be, and I'm an African-American agent, I think a lot of this, him not having an agent, you had Drew Rosenhaus at a certain point in your career. I think Drew Rosenhaus would have had him prepped a lot differently, i.e. Shiloh literally hiring Drew Rosenhaus the moment that he went undrafted. So I just wanted to kind of give a different context from an agent's perspective and how things are manipulated and so forth. And I appreciate you guys.
Well, we got it, Kevin. We appreciate you making the phone. I do think, and he laid it out with the role of the agent. I do think for as much as Deion's presence and obviously the coaching, right? He was his coach at Jackson State and at Colorado. I do, as much as it helped him get to this point, I do think it probably hindered him once the process started.
No question about that, Joe. That, like I said, this is not just one thing. And I know some people like to just focus on one thing, but that's not it in this situation. And, you know, just like the lady called and was talking about his arrogance and things like that, that's not a reason not to draft the player. That's not a reason. When you talk about all these other things that people have done and they still get drafted. I hear what you're saying. And it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. I was telling you about a clip I saw the other day where somebody asked him about going to the gas station and getting snacks.
Yep, yep.
And he said, I don't get gas. I drive a Cyber Beast. That rubbed some people the wrong way. But the bottom line is this. However you feel about Shador Sanders, if you're being honest with yourself, you feel that way because somebody told you that. Because at the end of the day, that's what we're talking about. When he was in college and we got closer to this process, you started hearing stuff about him being arrogant and cocky. But before that, he was all this great young quarterback, looked like he's going to be a number one draft pick. And then when the narrative changed and the stories came out, that he was cocky. Now everybody, none of us know Shador. We just know what we've heard about.
Sure. You know, actually, we missed this. There was a tell as the last week went on that he was probably going to slip. Now, I don't know if anyone could have guessed the fifth round. But this stuff started coming out.
That's what it,
you know what,
Joe,
it was?
It's always like that.
It was teams. Obviously, whoever has loose lips, right, and telling people in the media this stuff, they were justifying why they weren't about to take him. Yeah,
because,
that's what it was.
Like, listen to the draft. Remember when the whole Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold thing. And nobody knew who they wanted to take. And everybody thought when Baker got in trouble that that was going to be the sign to show that he wasn't going to go.
Darnold,
still got drafted. Still got drafted.
You know what the ironic thing is? And this goes back to Mel Kiper, that the NFL doesn't know what they're doing. Baker went one and Darnold went three. The best quarterbacks in that class were Josh Allen at 7 and Lamar yes. Jackson at 32.
Yes, but all of that did not deter them from taking Baker. That's the thing that I think people are missing, is that everything that we're – nobody's sitting back watching all these games. Everything that we're told about these young quarterbacks is because somebody else told us. Somebody told us that Shador was a malcontent. And then it didn't make it any better that when you see him on draft day, because people want to look at – he's talking about legendary. That's his brand. Just like when Money Manziel came out, he had the Manziel, the money sign. He's getting – these kids nowadays are media savvy. And they're doing everything that they can to monetize their brand before they get in the NFL.
Look, they all have brands. When we were at the Super Bowl, Travis Hunter had a whole setup for his podcast.
He did, and nobody said anything about it. He went to Adidas because Adidas gave him a contract for his little brother. That's why he didn't go to Nike.
Now, I do think it's a little different when it's a quarterback's, like, they're held to a team first. The wide receiver can kind of go be
do his own thing.
Like Darius Lake can have a podcast. Parsons, quarterbacks are held to a different. Well,
but you remember, like, back in the day, you probably don't remember this, Kyle, because you were too young, but the quarterback club, it was Boomer Esiason, Dan Marino, and it was two other quarterbacks, but they had their own little thing. And I remember it was a big deal because the NFL was trying to break it up. Because they had the whole quarterback club on lock. It was the four. John Elway was one of the court in the quarterback club, and it was somebody else. But it was those guys. They had it on lock. And NFL tried. They broke that thing up because they were monetizing everything. But yeah, everybody comes in with their own brand. It's just that for whatever reason, when Shador Brand happened to say legendary, people automatically, oh, he's being cocky. He's not his daddy. He's not his daddy. Mm. But he's his daddy's son.
Well, that's for sure. We found that out. 215-592-9494. All right. We'll talk about whether or not the Eagles should have taken Shedeur Sanders as he fell. Did you want him? Did you want the Eagles to take him as he fell down the draft board? But let's talk about the quarterback they did take late in the draft. Kyle McCord. What Nick Sirianni had to say about him coming up. I thought it was interesting to me listening to Sirianni give his reasons why they liked Kyle McCord. Because McCord was a productive quarterback in college, St. Joe's prep kid, but not obviously a different kind of quarterback than, let's say, Jalen Hurts. He's not in, like, Jalen Milroe. He doesn't run that much. But I just thought it was interesting, like, what Sirianni wants, like, his first thing he wants at a quarterback. You'll find this interesting. 215-592-9494. We'll hear from Sirianni on Kyle McCord. Your phone calls on all this, what the Eagles did, what they didn't do, and did you want Shador as he slipped down the draft board. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.